And we're going to continue learning with the master. I always make sure that I say not learning from the master, but learning with the master. And we're sitting at his feet this whole year, at the feet of Jesus. We're learning from him. And today we look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 14 to verse 16. Of course, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, we're going to look at the subject of light. So if you have a Bible, if you have an iPad, an iPhone, whatever you have, they have God's Word. Let's look at it this morning and see what God says in his Word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, ye. That word is very important right there. Present tense, you are. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on the candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. Lord, it is very clear here what you say to us, to each one of us, as your children, what you say to us collectively as a church. I pray, Father, Lord, if it's someone here this morning or someone on social media following us this morning, that if they never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may today they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we continue our series on the Sermon on the Mountain, Jesus calls us, calls his followers another name. Last week he calls us salt. Out of all the names in the Bible, he calls us salt. Today, in our lesson, he calls us light. White light and salt. Well, we may not think much about it, but these two names are of great significance because they are their weight, purpose, and meaning of why Jesus was using those names to identify us as believers. It is a reason why he said those words and a reason why we today need to understand why he calls you salt and he calls you light. Now, here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord uses two powerful metaphors to describe his people. He calls us both salt and light. Both of these substances are valuable and both are useful. Now, salt is very valuable, isn't it? You go to the restaurant, there's no salt in the food. And you go, where is the salt? You ask the waitress, hey, where's your salt? And you're putting salt in there. Why? To bring flavor. To bring flavor for the food, for your food. Well, the Bible says that our words are to be salted with salt. That means when we talk to people, we're in the world, in our homes, wherever we go, our words need to bring flavor to people. Bring thirst to the heart and to the of people. Why is that? They need to have thirst for God's word. Listen, folks, we live in a world that is no thirst for God. There is no thirst for God in our world. Everybody's happy doing their little things. Everybody's happy and content doing their little things that they're doing. And there's no thirst for God. It is a sad thing. And even Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? When he comes, Will he find people looking for him? And we live in a society today, we're so entertained with the gadgets that we have. The cell phones, the iPads, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitters, and everything else now is the TikTok, whatever that thing is, and everything else under the sun. And then I tell you what, and we forget God. Where is God in the midst of this? Listen, life is short, folks. You live and die in no moment. Listen, thank God that he gives you one more day, that you are part of this day. Tomorrow you might not be part of tomorrow's day. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to enlighten your mind and think about we live in a society that is not thirsty for God. Actually, we live in a society that criticize God. They criticize the Bible. They try to take the Bible aside and say the Bible is full of errors. And it called people, they even tried to call people who follow the Bible, biblical principles, to be closed-minded, hateful, dangerous people. Let me tell you, folks, I'm not a dangerous person. I love people in all walks of life. And if you look at Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, Jesus loved people. He was crucified because of people. For instance, salt is a great substance. And salt and light, both very important. For instance, salt is a difference between salt and light, of course. And salt is hidden. Light is obvious. Salt works secretly while light works openly. Salt works from within. Light works from without. Salt speaks of the indirect influence of the gospel, while light pictures its direct communication. Salt is largely negative. It can restock, it can retard corruption, but it cannot change corruption into incorruption. Light is more positive, and not only reveals what is wrong, but also helps us helps produce what is righteous and true. You see, when light comes, it reveals wickedness. Folks, let me tell you this. Why do you think that wickedness is done in the darkness of night? Why drunkenness most of the time is done in the darkness of night? Why violent crimes is done in the darkness of night? Because they cover their evil deeds. They don't want to be seen. And if they're doing the daylight, they go like this. Make sure nobody sees. In the darkness of night, they dress dark. They try to be as dark as they can so you don't recognize the person. Because hides wickedness and evil. Wonder why hell is dark. Because that's where evil resides. Amen. See, when Jesus called us salt and light, he was telling us that we were left in this world to influence it for the glory of God. Let me tell you this. I'm saved. No, I'm going to do what I want to do. No, 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 no. I said this in my class yesterday. Let me tell you. We don't want to say this, but we have to say this. Okay? Now, when you get saved, you have a new servant. Yeah. I mean, if you have a new servant, you are a slave. We don't like that word. But if you have a new master, then you are a slave. Who is your new master? Jesus Christ. You are his servant. If you are a servant, you ought to do what he says. That's why he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let me just say, oh, I was free. I didn't have any servants. I never been a slave. Let me tell you this. Every person that lives on the face of the earth that don't have Jesus as personal savior, he is a slave to sin. He serves his master. His master is sin. And every single day, he serves his master. He might not recognize that. Most people don't. Only Christians do because they know the truth. But let me tell you, when we leave that master, we gain a new master. And that master is Jesus. And we become his servants. And he say, well, but I don't want... Listen, folks, there is liberty in Christ. You don't have to sin any longer. You say, but I have a sinful body. Let me tell you, every sin that we commit is a choice.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, but Satan made me do it. No, he did not.
Right.
He can tease you like he did Eve, but he cannot make you sin. Sin is ultimately our own decision. We use these hands, we use these eyes, we use this heart, we use this mind, we use these feet of ours and go and do it. We do it on our own.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, folks, when a person that is not saved and died and go to God and be judged, let me tell you that, God does not say, call Satan in here because he's at fault. Oh, no, no. It is you. It is me. So when Jesus called us salt and light, he was telling us that we were left on this earth to influence it for the glory of God. We ought to be salt to help retard the corruption in this world, and we ought to be light to help dispel the confusion we find all around us. You talk with people about Jesus, and you see how confused these people are. Not because we're better than them, folks. Not at all. They need to know the truth. I am forever thankful for the person that told me about Jesus.
Amen.
We ought to be the salt to help retard, like I said, the corruption. Both salt and light are miracles. For an example, salt is composed of chloride and sodium, and both of these highly explosive elements, yet God has combined them in such a manner that they are stable, and actually we even eat it. Isn't that amazing? Light is a miracle. The light, the miracle of light is that separates darkness from light. That's a doing an object lesson here this morning. Brother, turn off all the lights. Here's the object lesson. What happened? Okay, I put something over my iPad right here. There you go. What happened? Light is gone because darkness came in. The brother turned the lights back on. What happened? Darkness is gone. Light came in. You see what happens? Light and darkness don't live in the same house. Light and darkness have no fellowship with one another. Light is the opposite of darkness. And let me tell you, God says to you and me, you are the light of the world. So where we go and we bring light. Now you go to your job tomorrow, you ought to bring light to that place. You go to your home, you ought to bring light to your home. You go to your neighborhood, you ought to bring light to that neighborhood. That's who you are. You are a light in this dark world. Perhaps that is why Jesus uses this common everyday image to describe his people as the influence the world. While both of these images speak well of what our role should be in this world, let me put it this way. Everybody likes to live the American dream, doesn't it? American dream is great. A house, a car, a white fence in the front of the house, bills up to our noses. Work 7 days a week. The American dream, it tends to be that way, right? So if some people run from state to state, try to find the cheapest place to live, oh, that's where we are today. That's, you know, listen, New England is not cheap to live. How many husbands would love to have their wives at home, but they cannot because it's so expensive? I mean, that goes in the heart of, I remember being there. I remember when my wife said, I don't want to work anymore. And I said, oh, I got to work 24/7. It was a hard decision. But let me tell you, it's in the heart of a lot of people. But let me tell you, the American dream. But let me tell you, besides the American dream, let me tell you this. Our purpose is not to live the American dream. Our purpose as Christians is to do the will of the Lord in this world. Because you can have nothing and be content. And you can have much and be dissatisfied. But if you have the love of God in your heart, whatever state you are, like even Paul teaches us that, he says that we can be content. Yeah. And our goal in this world is this, to be light and salt in this world. The reason why the Lord keep us here is that we can be a testimony of light and salt to this world. This world needs Jesus, folks. Amen. Listen, no politic is going to change our country. No politic is going to change the heart of people. God is. Actually, things are getting worse and worse. Look at the condition of our world. You say, oh, our world is at peace. Really? Really? Why do you think presidents go to country to country, visit one another, shaking hands, and you don't know what's going on? Diplomacy. Money exchange is thing to keep them at peace. The world is not at peace. Never been at peace. Well, let's look at this subject today. I went a little longer in introduction this morning about the subject of light. Number one, we see the power of light. The power of light. Look at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, pay attention to the word ye. Ye is there in the present tense, and ye means all of us. Doesn't matter what age you live in, what age you might live. Let me tell you that. It's always in the present. It says, you are the light of the world. And I mean, we are the light of the world on this world. Let me tell you, folks. You were born for such a time as this. Remember in the book of Esther? We are born for such a time as this. This is our time. We look at the missionaries of the past. We look at the prophets of the past and you say, wow, these guys were warriors for God. Let me tell you that. You can be a warrior for God as well. Amen. You know what they did? They died to self and went to tell others about the love of Christ. Let me tell you, what happened to Moses when God came to him? Not me. Get somebody else. He didn't want to go. You know why? He was a human being just like me and you, with fears just like you and I have. But he wanted to go. So light is an amazing thing. Light separates darkness. Not only separate, but have the power to move darkness. Why it does not have physical properties, it can have a profound effect in physical objects. Of course, you look at the oceans. What happened? We see the ocean is not blue, right? Not blue when you look, pick up some water out of the ocean. See, light displays those things and make things wonderful. You in a pitch dark room, what happens there? Everything is black and you have just a little blitz of light and illuminates the whole room. Well, let me tell you this. People are walking in this world with their hearts dark. They need light. How are they going to have that light? You and I are to go and tell. So letter A, light conquers darkness. Look what it says in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, what is this light that comes from God? It is the word of God. How you got saved? Based on the word of God. How you got saved? Because somebody shared with you the word of God. Was not the opinion, it was the word of God. Every time I lead somebody to Christ, or either I quote the Bible or I open the Bible. You got that? That's how we do it, right? You either quote verses that is in the Bible, or you just open the Bible and let them read. The other day I led a lady to Christ. I said, what I did? I said, open the Bible. It says, read it. Can you read it? And she read it. And she said, oh. I said, that's what the Bible says. See, the light, this light we're talking about here is the Word of God. Listen, let the Word of God dwell in us richly. Amen. Because if something's going to change our attitude, if something's going to change our way of life, if something's going to change the way we speak, the way we interact with people, it is the Word of God. No other way. That's why it's important to read, memorize, to chew on, to live, to open your Bible. You know why? Because people need to hear from you and me. How sad that Christians, and I'm talking generally speaking here, never open their mouth and tell someone about Jesus. Amen. When Jesus opened his mouth and told the world about himself. Note this, the same is true in the spiritual realm right here. Look what it says in Psalm 119, verse 30. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding into this simple. When the light enters, darkness flees. Folks, when light enters in the heart of man, darkness flees. They don't live together. Right. Let it be light, colors, drabness. I think is the word drabness. Maybe I'm miss saying. Did you know that colors? Well, I said this in the youth class this morning. I just kind of mentioned that because some people believe, some others don't believe, and it's kind of take it or leave it right here. Some believe that colors don't really exist. I think colors do exist, but some believe that colors don't really exist. Well, there are sometimes a certain aspects. For an example, there are some places sometimes the light shines at something and reflects light somewhere else. Right. It does that. For an example, you look at the oceans, they look blue, but they're not blue. You look at the atmosphere, or you look at the earth from outside the earth, it looked like our earth is blue. I watched a program the other day called The Blue Planet. It's interesting, but as you go inside the planet, you don't see no blue. It's just because of the light and what it does. Different things on the earth, it reflects those lights. But anyway, God is good, isn't it? But the light displays it. But what I'm trying to say here is this. We have the light of Christ in our hearts, and we are to reflect that light to the world. You follow that? See, we mind us, I don't look like I am much of a light. Well, you have the light of Christ in you, knowing let that light go out. Let us see, light changes deadliness. In the ancient Greek, in the mythology, it told of a godless who visited the earth, unseen by those present, and was always known by the blessings that she left in her path. Trees burst out by forests, sprung out with all kinds of flowers and all kinds of vegetation, all kinds of green stuff. Of course, then in the mythology, there was their godless or their god that they have that bring all this stuff every year. We know that that's spring. And you know why? Spring, you created spring was God Almighty. But the Greeks have all these gods anyway. The ancient Greeks were looking at the beauty of spring, like I said, time after the deadliness of winter. And they were giving their gods credit for the beauty and life that is so around them. Listen, if we go and listen, I put it this way. I've been in some places on this earth on vacation. I tell you what, there are beautiful places in our world. If you like nature, if you like, God created some beautiful things, but we don't give credit to the gods of the Greeks. God Almighty is the one who created. And you know what? They're there for us to look and say, praise be to God. What a great creator. I tell you what, every time, it doesn't fail, every time, if I walk to the ocean, I always come to mind. I see the sand, I see the water, I see the skies, and I praise God. You know why? Because he created all. And he created gravity so everything can glue together. I'm not much of a scientist, but there it is. Light changes deadliness. Why I say this? What happened to a person that doesn't have Jesus Christ as personal Savior? That person, the Bible says, is dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, I will never tell my friend about this because they're going to stop being my friend. I cannot talk about Jesus. I'm just going to keep it to myself. Really? You allow that person to die and go to a eternal hell. Oh, we don't talk about hell today because it offends people. Listen, my Jesus offended people. Amen. He called them hypocrites. He called them vipers. He called them the sons of the devil. He called them all the names. We don't even dare share those names. But he did. You know why? He tried to get their attention and where they were going. And that's what we need to do to people. Get their attention, to listen, to understand where they're going with life. The question is, where was I born for? What is my purpose in this world? Where am I going when I die? That's the questions of life. Because ultimately, we were born, we live and die. And after that, what happens? There was a young man. A grandfather asked this young man this question. He said, so, you just finished high school. What's going to be now after high school? Well, I'm going to college. I'm going to get a job after college. And so what happened after you graduate from high school and you got a job? I think I get married, have a couple of kids. I buy a house. And so what happened after you buy a house, have a couple of kids and married? What happened after that? Oh, the kids were married and will grow up and go to college and they will get their careers and they get married, go with their lives. And I'll be with my wife at home and we enjoy life. And the grandfather goes and said, and what happened after, you enjoying life for a season? Oh, I think we get old and we just sit on our recliners in the front of the house and look at each other and talk about the good old times. And the grandfather said to him and says, all right, so what happened after that? Oh, I guess I will die. And the grandfather says, and after you die, where are you going? And the young man said, I have no idea. You see, that's the problem of our world. Yep. They're going through all these things of life, and they don't stop to think. They're so entertained by everything that society gives them. And one day, life comes to an end, and they have no idea where they're going. And we as Christians, the light of the world, we hold it back, and we're not telling them about the great Savior. Isn't that a shame? Let it be. Light conditions dreariness. How many times have you seen a day of glooming, dreary weather suddenly replaced with a gleaming light of the sun? How often have we felt the cold, chilling fingers of autumn instantly lose the grip after the beam of sunlight? We all are all seen dreariness days immediately transformed by the appearance of light. How many times we concern and discouraged with life and we open God's word and we see one word and we get encouraged. Then there, and you say, Lord, you had this word for me right there. How many times is the beams of light coming right out of the Bible? You know what? God loves us so much he gives us one word. Enough. What a great God we serve. This world can be a dreary place sometimes. I'm not referring to the weather, but to the spiritual climate of people. However dark and dreary a day may be, when I'm exposed to the light of the people of God, or be with God's people, and see them in radiant beaming of light, let me tell you that, or even the light of the gospel, reading His Word, it makes your day. Same thing when you see, in a cold winter day, you see the light come out. Or in a raining day, and you see the light come out. I tell you what, I live in a country, in the islands of the Azores, sometimes it would rain for a month. Cloudy, dark, and dreary, rain and rain and rain. You just learn how to live like that. But when you see the light, oh, what a sunshine that was. That was wonderful. So this number one, we see the power of light. Number two, we see the places of light. Look at verse 14 and verse 15. It's that Jesus tells us that the places when His light shines, since this light is so precious and so powerful, where and how are we to let it shine or be seen? Letter A, the light of a city. Look what it says. Ye, or you, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So a city doesn't have a single light, folks. You got that here? No city has a single light. It's always a group or a good amount of lights. And makes one light. You ever see a city from the skies when you fly in the airplane? Let's say you come into Providence, all right? And you come in down, and in the airplane, this is, let's say like it's 11, 12 o'clock at night. You come in down, and you see lights, right? You see a big lump sum of light. In a distance, you see a big loom of light. It's a city. Amen. You know what God's trying to say here? You are a city. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. We, as a congregation, we, as the children of God, we are to make this big light for God. We are to show the world that this is a lighthouse here. We are a big lighthouse, shining light. You ever see a lighthouse when you're in the ocean? I know some of you never been in a boat at night, in the darkness of night, and look for a lighthouse. I've been. You know why? It's like salvation. You look it out, and you know there's a light there, and you just guide your boat towards that light so you can go to the shore. I tell you what, they're there for a purpose. Let me tell you, the gospel is in the world for a purpose. Why you think God came and left His word? He has a purpose. You know the purpose? There's two of them. Well, the first purpose, to get you saved. The second person is so you can get the menu and live it. Amen. Listen, folks, the Word of God has been changing lives for centuries now. And it will continue to change. It don't matter how sophisticated we get in this world that we live in. I'll tell you what, I never desire to live in the days of Moses. Some people say, oh, only if I live in the day of Moses. I don't want to live there. Oh, if I live the day of Isaiah, I don't want to live in those days. Oh, about the days of Paul, I didn't want to live in the. I enjoy living where I live right now. Amen. So many gadgets, wonderful. I remember the pastors of old, they used to take 12, 13 hours to make a lesson, to write everything. Oh, I love my iPad. I just do. You know, like you make a message, you cut the time in half or more than half because everything is at your fingertips. It's wonderful. I live the day and age that I live in. I don't desire the past. I don't desire the future. I desire here now. Yep. You know what? If I desire here now, guess what? This is my time. Amen. To shine for Jesus. Yep. This is my time to make a difference in my world. To tell the world that they need Jesus. See, I give you a light, the light of a city. So we're talking about like the light of a city here. A light that displays a big, like a lighthouse. And we ought to do that collectively as a church. East Bay Baptist Church got to be a big lighthouse for the world. We have to shine. People have to look and say, wow. I'm talking about not the building, folks. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm talking about us. Where you go, you represent East Bay Baptist Church. Shine where you are. Tell them about Jesus. Listen, people say to me all the time, well, I don't have time for that. Listen, let's say you get out of here, you walk in Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, Starbucks, whatever it is. Here's a person right in front of you. What a great opportunity to give him a track. Initiates a conversation. That's how easy it is to give the gospel. Listen, folks, the harvest is not here. The harvest is when you walk out the doors. When you walk out those doors, you're in the harvest field. You know what we need to do? Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be the light of an individual. Look at verse 15. We look at a city. Now look at verse 15. Jesus goes from collecting all of us together. Now he goes to singular. Look what it says. Neither do men light a candle and put it on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that is in the house, or they are in the house. So, you are the light of the world. So you ought to put your light on the candlestick. So in your home, you ought to show your family that you are the light of the world. In your job, in your workplace, you ought to show that you are the light of the world. And wherever you go, you ought to show that you are the light of the world. You don't hide your light. Let me give you an example. This young kid went and told his pastor he was going to summer camp. He was going to cut some trees in his farm like it was a lumberjack farm. And of course, these guys, some of those guys are pretty rough. Those guys, if you meet guys that work in the woods, some of them can be pretty rough. So he said to the pastor, could you pray for me? And he pastor, I'll be praying for you. I know you are going to face a rough bunch. So he, after the sun was over, he came back and he was at church. He was this young teenager, all happy. And the pastor still telling us, so how did it go? Did you say? And I noticed that you survived. How did you face this whole thing with those guys? So pastor, I had a wonderful time. It was so great. I said, really, tell me. Nobody even knew I was a Christian. See, that's the problem of many of us. We hide it. We go in the parks and we go in the places of this world and people don't even know who we are.
Amen.
We hide it.
Yep.
He was happy that nobody persecuted him and joke and said anything about him because he hid it. See, the Bible says, Jesus says right here, we don't put our candle under a bushel because it would die.
Yep.
We put it on the candlestick so everybody can see. So in your workplace, put the candle there. You're the light of the world. The people that you work with, they need Jesus. The people in your home, if they're not saved, they need Jesus. The people in your neighborhood, they need Jesus. You see the difference? Listen, everywhere Jesus went, he did one thing. He preached the gospel. The apostles, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. We are his followers. And we hide the gospel. How sad. The light of an individual, we are to show them, show our light to the world. Let me tell you this. We have a mandate. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is not an option, folks. This thing about being the light of the world is not an option. Take it or leave it. We are mandated to do this. Look what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, who said unto them? Jesus said unto them, he said, go ye. Again, look at that word ye. Very important word. Go ye into all, you see what it says, all the world, and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. He said, Pastor, how can I go to all the world? Very simple. We support missions. Yep. They go and represent you. You have also our Jerusalem and our Judea. What we do? Use your social media. Go and tell personally. Oh, well, I can't do that. Of course we can.
Amen.
Of course we can. Look what it says. Go ye unto all the world. Now, this is not an option. Jesus doesn't say to us in here, oh, if you can, you go. He goes, you go. We have a mission. Now we have a mandate by the Lord. We have a mission. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So not only we have a mission, but we have a mandate. He sent each one of us on a mission. All right, let me give you this example as you get to that verse. All right, so let's say I tell Brendan, I say, Brendan, can you do me a favor? So sure. So can you go to my car in a parking lot, is open, and I have a book there I want you to bring for me. Can you do that? He goes, sure. So when he departs, he's on what? On a mission. What is the mission? Get the book, bring it back. Look what it says here in Acts 1:8. But ye, look again, the same word, but ye shall receive power. Folks, do you have that power? If you are a child of God here, that power is referring to the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So you are a child of God. You have the power of the Spirit in you. See, what God says, I don't want you to go on your own power. I want you to go with my power. Follow that? So we need to pray before we talk to people. Lord, give me your power because I don't want to do this on my own. So go, look what he says. Go, but ye shall receive power, of course, the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Spirit is come unto you, and ye shall be witness. You see that? This is the mission. Witness unto me both, look what it says, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. That's our mission. Listen, my pastor said to me one time this way, if a church don't have a vision for the lost, that church should not even exist.
Yeah.
I said, well, because that's the mandate that Jesus calls us to do. Actually, if you have a Bible, it's going to be there in red. That's his words. He mandates us, not only he mandates us to go, and he mandates us to go throughout the world. But you have to bring the light with you.
Yeah.
You are you an individual or individually fulfilling God's calling in your life to be a light to this world? Did you notice that Jesus spoke of some people, who had hid their candle on their bushel? He did spoke that he spoke of people who put the bushel, the candle on top on the candlestick. Well, number one, there some hide their light under the bushel of fear. Some hide the light under a bushel of fear. Look what it says in John chapter 19, verse 38. And after these, Joseph of Arimathea, being disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came before and took the body of Jesus. Listen, one of the biggest problems Christians have is fear. Fear of retaliation. Fear of coming out of the comfort zone. Listen, folks. All of us go through that, including your pastor. All of us go through that. Listen, to go give a tract to somebody, you go out of your comfort zone. That's not something you want to do. It's not natural to you. But some people hide their light under the bushel of fear. They don't want nobody to know they're Christians. Like the young man, he went to that camp and didn't want to say anything. Listen, some people in the workplace, nobody know they're Christians. It is said. Number two, some hide their light under the bushel of apathy. Folks, that's the state of our country. That's the state of Christians in America. The church is in a state of apathy. No zeal for God. No hunger for God's word. No hunger to follow the word of God. And you say, well, it's not me. I'm generally speaking here. I was watching a church in Philippines. I was watching on Facebook because the pastor that follows me on Facebook, I was watching a video that he sent me. This is the church. I believe it's hot there. They have a metal roof. They have, like, I don't know what kind of grass they have in the sides. No windows, no doors. They have... the seats is a board with center blocks. And these people are there praising Jesus. They're praising Jesus. No air condition. And a guy is in there, had a suit on himself. I believe he was sweating. But let me tell you, there was a little kid. I mean, there was a crowd of people in that little building right there, sitting on the floors, many of them, others sitting in the seats, praising Jesus. Let me tell you, that's what we need in America. I'm not saying those conditions. I'm saying that zeal, that hunger for God. Some hide their light under the bushel of apathy. Number three, see the purpose of the light. We see the power of the light, the place of the light. Number three, the purpose of the light. Look at verse 16. Jesus tells us the twofold purpose of this light placed within our hearts. Letter A, a witness to the lost. Let me tell you, folks. When the lost people see the light of Jesus shining through the lives of the redeemed ones, they will take notice. Now, we all have works, but Jesus here mentioned good works. We are good works. Good works are works motivated by love, carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and performed for the glory of God. In other words, good works are works produced in us and through us by Jesus himself. Look, go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to see this there in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This should be the response, this verse, of every Christian. Actually, I memorized this verse many years ago. And I tell you what, because it spoke to me when one message in my pastor preached out of this verse. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I tell you what. In here, in this verse, it displays the attitude of the Christian, how we should live in this world. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Meaning literally, I am dead to self. Christ lives in me. If Christ lives in me, guess what? His light's going to shine through me. In me and through me. As I yield to Jesus and give my life to him, I prove the world that I have a great master, Jesus Christ. Folks, I say Jesus Christ all the time because we live in the world today, we say God about everything. You notice that? God this, God this, God this, God this. I understand that amongst us as Christians, we understand that language about God. But outside the walls of the church, when many people are referring God, they're referring to their God. And I purposely put Jesus. So they know that I'm talking about the only one, the God of all creation. So witness to the lost. Folks, let me tell you this. From my own experience, and I tell you this, it's not always easy to tell people about Jesus, but it's worth it. It's not always easy to get out of your way to tell somebody about Jesus when we are busy with our lives. You go to the store, do this, you go to work, and you're so busy, and you don't even think about it. But let me tell you, if we let this light shine in us and through us, we're going to tell other people about Jesus. And I believe this. If we let the light shine in us more and more, I believe we're going to bring light to the hearts of some of those who are in darkness. Don't you glad that somebody told you about Jesus? Maybe you grew up in a Christian home. And your parents led you to Christ. It was a condition of my kids. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Didn't have a Bible in my home. But somebody came to me and told me about Jesus. I'm forever thankful. He brought light into darkness. Do I have religion? Oh, yes, I did. I was religious. I had religion. But I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know him personally. People say, oh, listen, that's the difference between religion and a relationship. When Jesus came to me and I accept him as my Savior, he changed my life. And I believe he changed your life and my life as well. We Christians should be conscious of our walk with the Lord so our lives will reflect, be a reflection to others. There are lots of people out there whose lives are messed up because they don't know the Savior. They've never been transformed by the power of God. They need help, folks. They need you to go and tell them about the Savior. They need you to reflect your light so that they can see in you. I'll tell you what, the greatest testimony, the greatest things we can do as Christians to a lost person, I mean, give it a track is wonderful. Invite them to church is wonderful. Is tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them. Don't be ashamed. I remember one time, I'm not ashamed of this, somebody said to me, oh, I know, that was a family member said to me, I know you. You used to drink just like me. And I look at him, I said, you're right. I did it, and I'm thankful that I don't do any longer. Right. It's been 24 years I don't do it. You know why? By the power of God. Right. I'm glad that he saw the transformation. Folks, we are ambassadors of the gospel. Amen. You know what an ambassador is? All right. How many of you, honestly, have been in other countries besides me? Don't be ashamed. So we have a few. Did you ever went to the embassy? To the American embassy where you went? I'm the only one. All right, so I'm the only one. Okay, so you go to the American embassy. What happened in there? If you go to the American embassy, you're going to hear the English language, first of all. You're going to see the American flag. You're going to see the picture of your president and vice president. You're going to see pictures of your senators there. They're going to be there. You know why? Because they're there to represent what? A country. They're not there to mingle with the others of the other country. They're there to represent a country. That's the purpose of an embassy. They represent their country. Well, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, what happened to you? Your citizenship is went to heaven. You are a citizen of heaven. And Jesus said, because you're a citizen of heaven, know you're an ambassador of the gospel on earth. You follow that? So life on earth for Christians should be to reflect the light of the gospel. Tell the world about Jesus. That's the way it should be. And I conclude with this. There was a man called Woodrow Wilson. He told this story. He said in those days he went to a barbershop. And he said there was a lot of commotion in the barbershop. He was talking. The people were talking. And one man walked in. This man's name, after he left, he found out who it was Moody. He said, when he walked in, it got silence. Jesus' name was talked. This man's words were powerful. He was talking about Jesus the whole time in the barbershop. He said, I didn't know the man until he left. I asked who he was, and he said it was Moody. You see, the light of the gospel should go with us where we go. We go to the bank, so does Jesus in the gospel. We go to our workplace tomorrow, so does Jesus in the gospel. We are the light of the world. If we talk with our neighbors, so does Jesus in the gospel. You say, well, nobody's going to like me. Probably somebody won't like you. They didn't like Jesus either. But let me tell you, that's the way we shine the light to a dark world. Folks, let me tell you this. If you love people, we tell people the truth. You know is the truth? You know the truth? The truth is that Jesus saves. That's the truth. If you are in social media this morning, let me tell you this, the truth. The truth is Jesus saves. And the truth is that you need Jesus as your personal Savior. You don't leave earth without Jesus because you're going to have eternity to regret it. You need Jesus as your personal Savior. See, people are so concerned about world diseases and all that. And we're all going to die one way or the other. But let me tell you, the greatest disease is sin. It's killing millions of people every day. Listen. Let your light shine. Be like a lighthouse or a city on a hill. Let us shine for Jesus. Don't we have a song we sing, This Little Light of Mine, Let Us Shine, Let Us Shine. That's what we should do. You see, the little kids sing that. What about us singing that? By the way, God doesn't have grown-up children. He has children. Yeah. He doesn't say, oh, you're a retired child. No, no, he calls us children. Even John says it, reminds us, as my little children, he says. You see that? We are the children of God. We never come out of that. We're always children. So this little light of mine, let us shine. Let us shine with Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. Thank you, Lord, for this light that you call us. We are the light of the world. So help us, each one of us here individually, to be the light that shines for Jesus. I pray.